November 22, 1963 started out as an ordinary day at the Providence Evening Bulletin. By 12:30, city editor Jim Wyman was ready for lunch and headed across the street to the Providence Journal Diner. He had just settled into his favorite stool when the phone on the counter jangled to life.
And it was the managing editor seeking me and urging me to get back across the street, because the president had been shot.
The newsroom was a scene of chaos as copy editors raced down file articles, teletypes ran nonstop, and reporters cried out for more paper. Wyman would work a 23-hour day that day. He kept his composure until he drove home to Cumberland.
I suddenly felt overwhelmed, like nothing I'd ever experienced before. And suddenly I found my eyes welling with tears, and then I started to weep openly, unashamedly, for long, long minutes.
Wyman says the day the president was shot was the highlight of a career that spanned 45 years.
I guess I was like a lot of people who had watched Kennedy's rise in the political bastion. And the vibrancy of his administration, the promise that was held out to everyone, I think, seeing all of that destroyed in one or two shots from a rifle was hard to get your mind around.
While Wyman was racing to get special editions on the street, Nuala Pell, wife of Rhode Island Senator Claiborne Pell, was at work in her Georgetown home.
I was sitting at my desk in Washington, and I heard it on the radio, which I had on, and I couldn't get through to the Capitol because to call Claiborne, who was down at the Senate, because everything was taken, you know. The telephones were overwhelmed from other people who heard it. I couldn't believe it at first.
It was Claiborne Pell's 45th birthday. He was devastated by the loss, says his widow.
That was the worst part. We were so excited to have this new and young president, who was the same age as we were, you know, come into office. And it was devastating, really. Absolutely devastating. Both Claiborne and I. It took us a long time to get over it.
Nuala Pell later played a role in the drama that followed.
Jackie asked some people to come and help her write thank you letters for the letters she got. So I went to the White House day after day to help write letters. That was tough, you know.
Was Mrs. Kennedy there?
Yeah, she was.
Supervising?
Well, yes, or thanking people, really, just walking among us. That was a tough time. I can't remember that.
Brown University Medical School Dean Emeritus Stanley Aronson was doing research at the New Rochelle, New York Public Library when the president was assassinated. He remembers being annoyed that people were disturbing the quiet of the stacks.
And it was a little annoying because I could not make out what they were saying. And when I checked out some books, I saw the librarian behind the desk crying. And as a nosy physician, I put down the books and I asked her, "Can I help you? It's illness or something." And she shook her head and she said, "He's dead."
Aronson, like the rest of the country, was shocked by the news.
Sadness. I voted for him. I enjoyed his image. He was youthful. He was presidential. He was liberal. He was articulate. He was educated. And I thought that other than his playing around with nuclear warfare with the Russians, I thought that he was a good president.
Aronson disapproved of some of the news coverage that followed.
I saw article after article, even in my favorite New York Times, of more attention paid to what Mrs. Kennedy was wearing during, before, and after the funeral, and the activities of her children. I don't consider myself old-fashioned.
The Greatest Generation was proud of President Kennedy, and his loss left them deeply shaken. Flo Jahnke, Rhode Island Public Radio.
And joining us in the studio now is Flo Jahnke. Flo, now that you've given us those stories, what about your own? Where were you on the day John F. Kennedy was assassinated?
I was in the sixth grade at a Catholic school in northern New Jersey. The principal came on the loudspeaker, told us what had happened, and told us to quietly go home. In the days that followed, our family remained glued to the TV as everybody else did. In time, I tired of it and asked my mother if I could go out and play basketball. No, she said, this is history in the making. You should watch this. Minutes later, Jack Ruby shot Lee Harvey Oswald live on TV. My mother definitely had news instincts.
It's amazing how you just never forget where you were when you hear that kind of historic news.
It indeed it is, Elizabeth.
Well, Rhode Island Public Radio's reporter Flo Jahnke, thank you.
Thank you.